Hello, Len, Laurie, and everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you. We have a very, very snowy day here in Pueblo. So I'm feeling really quiet. So we'll see if the talking happens. I'm sure it probably will, but I'm feeling just quiet. I'm going to start by playing a song. I like to do that. I like to play that song and let us all just be still while we listen to, you know, the lyrics and the notes in the song. So the song that I have today is by Kirtana, and it's a song called Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Happy birthday, Jesus, lives and lives have passed since we saw you last at Gethsemane. But you are in our hearts and minds this silent night as we light and light the hope of light to be. We shun the love you offer with your outstretched hand, for we tend to crucify what we don't understand. The truth cannot be shaken just by taking lives, so you rose again as proof before our eyes. Even so, on this night, all is not calm, all is not bright. We still have the hungry, we have the poor, and we haven't found the peace of mind that puts an end to war. Good wishes and intentions are the gifts we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. But peace on earth, goodwill toward men will have to wait till love can rise above the bonds of hate. Ceased since you came, fighting over what you said, fighting in your name. Could you please send another star? We could follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are. Don't know if we'd know you if you came again and you walked and taught among us as you did back then. For all I know, you could be standing next to me, so I'll try to find your face in all I see. May this day be our birthday, may we live as one. May peace take root inside us, may your kingdom come. If not on earth, within our hearts this silent night, as we light the light in hope of light to come.
Thank you, Katana. So right now, one of the things that I am doing is teaching three Jesus of the New Testament classes. I have one on Monday mornings, one on Wednesday nights, and one on Thursday evenings. And so since I'm teaching three Jesus of the New Testament classes, one of the things I'm doing is spending a lot of time in the Bible. And as I was listening just now to Kirtana Singh, I was reminded of the beginning of the book of John, which I'm sure you all have probably heard before, but just let me read to you from the beginning of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And when I read the first two paragraphs of the book of John, what I think of is the creative process that creates manifestation. And the way that I understand the words is that truth is life. Ultimate truth is unmanifest life, pure isness. When life is combined with what I will call an idea, it creates a manifestation. The word, of course, being a symbol for an idea. Life plus thought equals manifestation. And in the book of John, it talks about how the life is the light of men. Because the life is the essence of all manifestation. The life is the truth. The life is what is eternal. The life is what is unchanging. The life is what is has no beginning and has no end. He says the light shines in the darkness, and that's because the light is in manifestation. But the darkness has not understood it. I think it's interesting that the word darkness is used here to describe manifestation. And actually, if you study Kabbalah, you'll find that the word darkness is used there also to refer to manifestation. And Eckhart Tolle defines the ego as the focus on manifestation. So when we are focused on manifestation as if it's truth, focused on this life and the events in this life and this person as me, as if all of that is truth, we're lost in darkness. And in the song that we just listened to from Kirtana, she said, "Could you please send another star? We can follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are." Well, that star is our own willingness, our own spiritual aspiration, our own calling, our own true desire. And if we follow that star, it leads us back to the light. Tonight we're here to look at the seven steps of awakening, and we're going to begin with quote 634. These are quotes that are coming from the Supreme Yoga or Yoga Vasistha, and I am pasting a link to my journal, 634 in the room, for anyone who wants to read along in the journal. Before we go to the journal, of course, I'm going to read the quote from the Seven Steps to Awakening. And the quote is this. Thought is mind. There is no distinction between the two. Thought is mind. There is no distinction between the two. Now, if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know that I'm kind of on a little theme that has been present. And that theme is very much related to what I just read to you from the book of John. The theme that I'm going through right now as we're looking at the journal along with the Seven Steps to Awakening, the theme is that the ego, and I think it's great to call the ego selfishness, because the ego sees only from my point of view. So the ego, which really is selfishness, the ego is the cause of all suffering in the world. The ego is the cause of all appearances that we would call evil. That's the theme. And what's really interesting about the book of John, yeah, Revolver, exactly. I've played a little clip from Revolver the last 2 weeks in a row. And what's really interesting about the book of John is that the book of John talks about how manifestation happens when you take life plus an idea and it equals a manifestation. But because life, which is also called light, is a part of the process, that means light or life is in all manifestation, even what we would call the evilest or the most evil. It has the light in it. An awakening is about following our own inner star back to the realization of life as what we are. And then, of course, seeing the light in everything, because we're seeing from the perspective of life rather than the perspective of a selfish ego. Again, Eckhart Tolle defines the ego as being focused on form or attached to form. I don't remember which words he uses, either attached to form maybe. So when I am concerned about my life or concerned about the world as I perceive it to be from my selfish point of view, I am thinking with the ego. And those ideas are a part of this creative process that the book of John talks about. And so those ideas create the appearances of the world, all appearances of the world, but all the way up to and including evil. The basic message here is that if we are not in love with the appearance of evil in the world, then why are we in love with listening to our own thinking? It's really a message of beginning to question ourselves. Why, when my mind goes off with some story, am I so quick to listen to it? Why, when my mind goes off with some judgment, am I so quick to believe it? Am I really considering this fully? Considering the effects of this type of thinking? And that's what Kirtana was looking at in this particular song. She says, we've not yet found the peace of mind that puts an end to war. I watched, right now, Jasmine and I are kind of doing a little thing together where every now and then we watch an old Marilyn Monroe movie. and we watched the movie on Friday night, 7-Year Itch. And if you haven't seen the 7-Year Itch in a while, it might be fun to go back and watch it, because what the 7-Year Itch really is a study of the ego. It's amazing. You know, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and of course I didn't see that in it then. But it's very, very clear. There's a character in the movie who is married and has a son, but his wife and son have left New York City for the summer, because this was, for the most part, prior to air conditioning. He actually has air conditioning in his apartment, but for the most part, prior to air conditioning, and anybody who could afford it, the families went up to Maine or Vermont or somewhere cooler for the summer, and then came back when school started. And so his wife and son are gone, and Marilyn Monroe happens to move in upstairs. And of course he's attracted to her, and you know, he's struggling in his mind about wanting to be the faithful husband, also wanting to cheat with Marilyn Monroe. And then he has all of these imaginary stories about his wife finding out and catching him. And, you know, it's really a very funny movie, but it's, you know, when you watch it, you can just see exactly how the ego works. You know, you can see it so clearly in this movie. And what the book of John is telling us, and what Kirtana is telling us in this story, is that those thoughts, in one way, what I'm about to say is not wholly true, so if I remember, I'll come back. But in one way, those thoughts are not just harmless thoughts in my head, simply freaking me out. You know, if I'm imagining that I'm going to cheat on my spouse and get caught, and I'm imagining this whole story and I'm getting all freaked out and I'm trying to cover my tracks, that's not just happening with me. That when we think these thoughts, they're actually a part of the creative process that goes out and creates appearances in the world. You know, you could say appearances of betrayal, appearances of fear, appearances of paranoia, whatever flavor they have, you know, whatever flavor the thoughts are that I'm believing, that flavor gets painted out into the world as well. And yeah, the name of the movie was 7-Year Itch with Marilyn Monroe. And the real reason for looking at all of this, even the reason that it's printed, that it's presented in the movie Revolver, the real reason for looking at all of this is to make a conscious decision that I am not going to tolerate the ego in my mind anymore. It's not helpful for me, and it's not helpful for anyone. Now, what I just said is that's only partially true, so let me just circle back and tell you why it's only partially true. It's only partially true because our true self, the life is untouched by anything. The life is completely unaffected always. I think Jesus says something in the Course about dangerous in time. And that's what the ego is. The ego is dangerous in time, but not in eternity, not in truth, not the life, the awareness, the isness that our reality is not affected by it. But the experience, and I don't think that the experience is to be denied. You know, Jesus also says something in the Course about how denial of the body is an unworthy type of denial. Well, denial of experience can also be very, very unhealthy. You know, to put your head in the sand and pretend like there aren't wars, there isn't starving, there isn't disease, to say, oh, none of that exists. It's easy to say, oh, none of that exists if you're personally not touched by it. But anyone who's personally touched by it can tell you that it sure seems to exist. There's what I'm going to call an apparent reality. It seems like it's helpful to kind of do two things at once to me. It seems like it's helpful to, on the one hand, spend time focusing on awareness, watching awareness, getting to know the part of our self, which is our true self, getting to know that self that is not affected. And when things happen in my own personal life, if I need to, you know, looking at that self, being with that self, knowing that, noticing that it's not affected. I mean, becoming aware of our true self is a very, very important part of this process. But there's another side too, and the other side is the letting go of the ego. So you could say we're embracing the light and letting go of the ego. And the reason for noticing the havoc that ego causes in experience when we believe ego is because it helps us to realize, again, I don't want to tolerate ego in myself anymore. I don't want to get caught up in these stories and opinions and judgments anymore. I want to let go of ego. When these thoughts arrive, I want to have no interest in them. I would rather spend my time in awareness, watching awareness, than being caught up in listening to the ego thoughts in my mind. And again, it brings our attention back to the star. The star I mentioned from Kirtana's song, which is also the star from NTI Peter. She says, could you please send another star we can follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are? The star is our desire for awakening. And so looking at the suffering in the world and realizing the suffering is caused by the belief in ego and the thinking with ego helps us to want the star more than the thinking. It helps to make us more willing. It helps to increase our desire for awakening. It helps us to become more interested in awareness, watching awareness, than thinking. And this is really important for us because the truth is we're addicted to thinking. We need something that will really help us make that decision. Now again, I'm looking at 634. It says, thought is mind. There is no distinction between the two. So let's go look at the journal entry on 634. The most persistent habit in the world is also the most unnoticed habit, the most engaged in, and the cause of every problem, every evil, and every form of suffering ever experienced. Do not deny and look away now. It is time to see the villain behind the curtain. Thinking, thought, being engaged in thought, and being entertained by thinking, this is the cause of every problem, every evil, and every kind of suffering ever perceived. And yet, much, much more energy is given to this one labor than to any other endeavor on earth. And you can probably watch that in yourself. You know, no matter what you do in a daytime, you probably spend more time absorbed in your thinking than anything else. So we give more of our attention to our thought than anything else we do, and yet that thinking, assuming that it's ego thought, that thinking is the most harmful way to spend our time. Again, we want to look at this so that we can say, this just doesn't make sense for me anymore. We want to look at this so that we become naturally disinterested in the stories in the mind and increase our desire for awakening. I'm going to go ahead and move on to number 635 and reading from the Seven Steps to Awakening. When the mind disintegrates, there is liberation and there is no more rebirth. Here, of course, referring to rebirth as a seeming separate individual. When the mind disintegrates, there is liberation and there is no more rebirth. For it was mind alone that appeared to take birth and to die. And this, of course, is because the isness, the life, the awareness, the truth is changeless. So the truth of what we are is not born and does not die, right? But the mind and the manifestation which comes from the mind, that's what appears to be born and appears to die, appears to live and appears to suffer. Jamie, are you okay? Why are you crying, my love? Are you suffering from lack of attention? Yeah, that's what I thought. Why don't you lay down? All right, so again, 6:35. When the mind disintegrates... Well, Sleepy, I'm busy. I'm busy, my love. I can't play with you right now. I can't. Hello, Shiloh. I can't play with you either. Okay, so when the mind disintegrates, there is liberation. And there is no more rebirth. Well, the thought that we just read, number 634, said, thought is mind. And 635 says, when the mind disintegrates. We could say when thought disintegrates, and it would have the same meaning. How does thought disintegrate? My experience is it disintegrates when I don't have interest in it. And it becomes stronger when I do have interest in it. The easiest place to let go of an entire ego story, in my experience, is with the first thought. With the first thought. You know, so if the first thought is, now why did she do that? That's the place to lose interest, right there. It's much, much easier to lose interest with the very first thought that appears in the mind. And if you lose interest with the very, very first thought, you'll notice the whole story disintegrates. It like falls apart. It doesn't take flight in your mind. It has no breath to it because you didn't enliven it. And obviously, you're free from that story. And so if you can become disinterested in every ego thought, if you can have no interest in the ego, it disintegrates. Because the ego doesn't exist. That doesn't mean it's not experienced. That doesn't mean it can't, you know, take us all the way to hell, because it can. It means it can't do it without your attention. You see, you are real. You are life. You are light. You are truth. And if you take what you are and you give it to thought, there is manifestation. This is what the book of John is all about. One form of manifestation is just more thoughts in that storyline. It becomes a great big story because you took the reality of what you are, you gave attention to a thought, and the thought becomes born into a story. That is one form of manifestation. But it cannot become born into a story if you do not give it attention. If you have no interest in it, if you choose not to put your attention in that direction. It has to disintegrate because it has no existence of its own. The ego does not exist. You exist. The ego does not exist. When the mind disintegrates, there is liberation. And there is no more rebirth, for it was mind alone that appeared to take birth and to die. All right, let's look at the journal. Number 635A, mind tells stories. And we've already talked about that. Every lifetime is a story. A story with a beginning and an end. Therefore, every person appears to be born and to die. However, in truth, there is no person and there is no death. However, in truth, there is no birth and there is no death. In truth, there is no person. Let me read this one more time. 635A. Mind tells stories. Every lifetime is a story. A story with a beginning and an end. Therefore, every person appears to be born and to die. However, in truth, there is no birth and there is no death. In truth, there is no person. So, a minute ago, I mentioned to you that the ego is not real, therefore the ego's stories are not real. The ego has no existence, therefore the ego's stories have no existence. And in order for all of that to take you all the way to hell, in order for it to have life, you have to give it life through your attention. I mentioned that an entire story is really just a manifestation. You take life, which is what you are, plus your attention on an idea and you get manifestation. And the stories running around in your head are literally one type of manifestation. And I mentioned that the best place to let go is with the first thought. Then it disintegrates and there is no story. Well, this is taking this one step further. This is saying that an entire lifetime of a person, from birth to death and everything that happens in between, is the same as a story in your mind. It's the same thing. The existence that is there, the existence that appears to be there, comes from life, from your attention on thought. And again, we can take this further. We can take it further than a story, further than a lifetime. The entire world and everything that happens in it comes from your attention on thought, your belief in thought, your being mesmerized by thought. And liberation from all of this comes from breaking the habit of being mesmerized by thought. Yeah, Regina isn't. Collective thought. Isn't that collective thought? ? Yes, but when I say you, that's a plural you for this moment. Well, I love the way you're saying not just my thought. Yes, not just your thought. But at the same time, your thought is as much a part of it as anyone's thought. So, you know, we each have to accept the atonement for ourselves, which means accept the correction for ourselves. And the correction is losing interest in thinking. So we each have to do the same job. But yeah, the person of Lynn does not create the world. The person of Lynn is one of the creations of one of the cartoon characters. Right? So it's all very difficult and almost not worth talking about, to be honest. What's most important, I love to keep things simple. To me, simple is just best. And what's most important, that each and every one of us lose interest in thought, and become more interested in awakening. And forget everything else. Everything else does not matter. That keeps it simple. And if each and every one of us does that, then the job is done. And then we don't have to even talk about, we don't have to talk about just me or collective, or we don't even have to go there. So 635A, mind tells stories. And we already talked about that, right? But then this takes it a step further. Every lifetime is a story. It's no different than the stories that are manifest in our mind when we give attention. Every lifetime becomes manifest because of the attention we give. The entire world and every story in it becomes manifest because of the attention we give. Again, this goes back to the first two paragraphs of the book of John. Mind tells stories. Every lifetime is a story with a beginning and an end. Therefore, every person appears to be born and to die. However, in truth, again, all this stuff is only partially true, because in truth, there is no birth and there is no death. In truth, there is no person. But because we intellectually know that we are unaffected is not a reason to forget the task of watching our mind and losing interest in the ego. The fact that we know intellectually that we are unaffected is not a reason to forget or forego the task of watching our mind. And by watching our mind, I mean paying attention, noticing the mind, noticing its ego, and losing interest in it as quickly as possible. The fact that we are unaffected is not a reason for skipping that part of the job. Awakening is about both embracing the unaffected self and letting go of the false self or the ego. I'm going to move on to 635B. Again, the quote that I'm looking at is this. When the mind disintegrates, and we've already seen that thought and mind are the same thing. When the mind disintegrates, there is liberation and there is no more rebirth. For it was mind alone that appeared to take birth and to die. 635B in the journal says, mind tells stories, and mind's stories are misperceived as life. However, stories are not life. Life precedes all stories, and life is beyond all stories. Life is unaffected and unchanged by every story that ever appeared to be. Mind's stories seem to hide life with apparent life, but even this is not true. And when I say mind stories seem to hide life with apparent life would be the body personality, right? Regina appears to live, and Regina can be very, very interesting to me because it appears to be me, it appears to be my life, it appears to be my problems, it appears to be my joys, and to the degree that I am interested in Regina, that is to the degree that I am unaware of my truth. Danielle, can you take this?
All from just one.
Hello? Yeah. Go ahead and listen to that for me. That's her principal. My daughter is gone for 2 days on a school trip, and so if the school calls, I just want to be able to take the call. To the interest that I am, to the degree that I am interested in Regina and her life and caught up in that, that is to the degree that I am not paying attention to who I really am. So that's what we mean by life is hidden by apparent life. And that, again, is why we need to lose interest in the mind stories. If you pay attention to the mind stories are in some way always about me. Anything important?
No school.
No school. Okay. I don't think any of us could count the number of times per day that the mind has thoughts about me or I, but if we did, I think we would be amazed at just how what mind is really doing, what thought is really doing, is reinforcing over and over and over again the idea that what I am is the body personality. And therefore, it is creating an entire quilt, thread by thread by thread. If you think of every thought as a thread, it's creating an entire quilt, a very heavy wool quilt over the true self. And so I do not know who I am because I'm so absorbed into thinking that I am the false self by listening to the stories all day long. So life is hidden by apparent life. B says, mind tells stories and mind's stories are misperceived as life. However, stories are not life. Life precedes all stories and life is beyond all stories. Life is unaffected and unchanged by every story that ever appeared to be. Mind's stories seem to hide life with apparent life, but even this is not true. So one thing that I've been saying tonight is that there are two things we need to do. We need to embrace the truth and let go of the ego, of the untrue. And, you know, for the first 40 minutes or so, I've really been focusing on the letting go part. But when I read 635B, for me, it's reminding me to focus on the embracing part as well. It's reminding me that when a story does come into my mind, you know, why are they saying that about me, right? When that first thought comes, why are they saying that? What are they thinking about me, right? When that comes, not only to notice that, to have no interest in that and to let it go before an entire story is manifest, but also to take that opportunity to practice self-inquiry and to ask, who am I? What am I? And turn my attention to my truth, to the unaffected. If you listen to the beginning of the story, again, why are they saying that about me? What are they thinking about me? Hear the me in that? What are they saying about me? What are they thinking about me? If I give my attention to that and that develops into a big old story, I am emphasizing the idea that I am the apparent life. And if I emphasize the idea that I am the apparent life, I am not aware of the life that I am. I'm not aware of the truth that I am. So I let go of the story. I see immediately that this story is ego by the fear in it, maybe. The unworthiness in it, maybe. Maybe I can, you know, Laurent used to always talk about smell. Maybe I can smell fear and unworthiness in this story. So I know that it's ego. I let it go. That's great. I've done half the job. I let go of ego. That's half the job. But now I want to do the other half and I want to embrace the truth. So I let go of the story that was about to reemphasize the idea that I am apparent life. And now I ask, what am I? and I turn my attention, or it's often called awareness watching awareness, I turn my attention to the isness, the real life that is here and is completely unaffected by anything. Let go of the false, embrace the true. Two-step process. A simple two-step process. 635B again says, mind tells stories, and mind's stories are misperceived as life. And again, this is talking about not just the mental stories, but the stories that are our lifetimes. Mind tells stories, and mind's stories are misperceived as life. Like Regina is just a character. Lynn is just a character. But we think that's who we are, and we misperceive Regina as life and Lynn as life. But that's a mistake. They're just stories. They're just stories. Mind tells stories, and mind's stories are misperceived as life. However, stories are not life. Life precedes all stories, and life is beyond all stories. We could also say life precedes the body personality, and life is beyond all body personalities. Life is unaffected and unchanged by every story that ever appeared to be. Imagine that. Life is unaffected and unchanged by every story, by every apparent person who's ever lived, no matter how heroic or how evil, by everything that has ever happened, no matter how good or how bad. All of history has not affected the truth of what we are, the life, at all. Not to any degree. Mind tells stories, and mind's stories are misperceived as life. However, stories are not life. Life precedes all stories, and life is beyond all stories. Life is unaffected and unchanged by every story that ever appeared to be. Mind's stories seem to hide life with apparent life, but even this is not true. And as I mentioned, this journal entry reminds me, once I let go of the ego, once I let go of the story, to then complete the task, complete the job, by looking, inquiring, and noticing the unaffected life as what I am. Let go of the story that wants to emphasize that I am the body personality, and then look. Look and see the truth of what I am. I'm going to go on to 635C. I'm still looking at the same quote. When the mind disintegrates, there is liberation, and there is no more rebirth. For it was mind alone that appeared to take birth and to die. 635C says, mind is nothing but stories, since mind, story, and imagination are all synonymous. No mind, no story. No story, no mind. To let go of mind is to let go of story, and to let go of story is to let go of mind. I mentioned a moment ago that I like simplicity, and for me, 635 is making this simple. You know, I don't know about you, but when people talk about letting go of mind, that can just sound like an incredible task. I mean, like, let go of mind. You know, how do you let go of mind? Well, let go of the story. It doesn't seem as it actually seems possible. Just keep letting go of the story. Because remember, we saw in 634, thought is mind. Well, the story is nothing but thought, right? So if you let go of the story, and if thought is mind, If you let go of the story, then you are letting go of mind. It's that simple. Let go of the story. You see another story starting, let go of the story again. Every time you let go of the story, you are letting go of mind. And if you complete that by also following it up with self-inquiry and noticing the awareness, the I am, the isness, every time, you're really starting to let go of mind completely. C635C, mind is nothing but stories, since mind, story, and imagination are all synonymous. No mind, no story. No story, no mind. To let go of mind is to let go of story, and to let go of story is to let go of mind. Just simplicity there, which is nice. 635D. When one lets go of stories, one knows eternal self. No story, no mind, no mind, no story, no story, no beginning and no end, no birth and no death, only eternal life, present without story. This, of course, is referring to what I'm going to call mindlessness or pure awareness. No story. How do you let go of mind? You let go of the story. And where's the easiest place to let go of a story? With the first thought, before it gets any gravity to it. Did you hear that, Danielle?
Yeah, let go of the story with the first thought.
Before it gets any
bad
gravity to it. Okay? I want to make sure Danielle heard that. All right, 635D. When one lets go of stories, one knows eternal self. No story, no mind, no mind, no story, no story, no beginning and no end, no birth and no death, only eternal life, present without story. And you know what's lovely about that? Is that means right now. Right now. Let go of mind now. Right now, you're that pure awareness. Right now, you're that isness that is the light in everything, that is the life in everything, that is eternal life, that has no beginning, has no end, is absolutely changeless and completely unaffected. Just let go of the story. I'm not going to go on. There's a 636A, which means that this is probably going to be longer than 5 minutes. I think maybe what would be really, really, really sweet to do after this discussion is to listen one more time to Kirtana's song. You know, and listen as Kirtana talks about things like, we have not yet found the peace of mind that puts an end to war. And realize that peace of mind that puts an end to war is no story. So if we have not yet found the peace of mind that puts an end to war, that's because we're still caught up in story. Realize that story is the equivalent of thought. Thought is the equivalent of mind. Mind is the equivalent of ego. And realize that thought, story, mind is the cause of every suffering and every evil that ever occurred. And realize that the star that we can follow through the darkness to where Jesus is our willingness, our desire to awaken more, to have the desire for awakening more than the desire to believe in manifestation as truth. When we believe manifestation is truth, we're totally going to listen to the stories. So let's have a listen to Gratana one more time.
Happy birthday, Jesus, miles and lives have passed since we saw you last at Gethsemane. But you are in our hearts and minds this silent night as we light and light the hope of light to be. We shun the love you offer with your outstretched hand, but we tend to crucify what we don't understand. The truth cannot be shaken just by taking lives, so you rose again as proof before our eyes. Even so, on this night, all is not calm, all is not bright. We still have the hungry, we have the poor, and we haven't found the peace of mind that puts an end to war. Good wishes and intentions are the gifts we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. But peace on earth, goodwill toward men will have to wait till love can rise above the bonds of hate. Since you came, fighting over what you said, fighting in your name, could you please send another star? We could follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are. Don't know if we'd know you if you came again and you walked and taught among us as you did back then. For all I know, you could be standing next to me, so I'll try to find your face in all I see. May this day be our birthday. May we live as one. May peace take root inside us. May your kingdom come. If not on earth, within our hearts this silent night, as we light the light and hope of light to come.
All right, and with that, I need to stop the sign because my song, because my time is completely up. But thank you all for joining with me. Have a wonderful evening.